Wow.
So that's what I mean with the veil is thin.
Okay.
You're still having that creepy, spooky feeling.
Yeah. And you also mentioned that it's kind of like the party's over. The balloons are like bobbling around and losing their air in them and getting kind of fizzled out. That's like the cleanup time, right? Like after a party, that's the time where you clean up from the party, you sweep everything away. You're kind of integrating the experiences that you might have had. Would you say that that's basically what this time is about right now?
Absolutely. The cleanup after the party is like a really good way to put it. And it might not have been a fun party, but there was some kind of event that happened and we're on the end of it.
Welcome to your weekly astrological weather. This is your place to get practical guidance for not only surviving, but thriving with the cosmic tides.
Hey, all, this is Rick Levine, and I'm inviting you to join me in a new class on the Astrology Hub starting mid-November, starting November 14th. And this is going to be 4 Zoom classes of live chart interpretation, focusing on bringing the harmonic aspects down to earth. So we're going to step beyond the squares and trines and sextiles and oppositions into the magical world of quintiles, septiles, and even octiles and other strange tiles. But this course is a hands-on working with charts. I'll be doing 4 charts each class, a view of participants looking at the harmonic aspects, followed by an additional Q&A session. Find out more information about this and or register at astrologyhub.com/harmonics. I'm Rick Levine, and I'll see you online.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to your weekly astrological weather. I am so happy that you decided to join us to explore the astrology of the week of November 6th through the 12th with Astrologer Connect astrologer Taylor Schuler. So happy to have Taylor back. I loved our last weekly weather episode, so hopefully you got to tune into that as well. And we will be diving into the cosmic tides here in just a second. But before we do that, I just have a couple announcements. Number one, we are going to be taking a brief pause on the podcast this December to refresh and reinvigorate and rethink some of the things that we're doing here on the show. So this is going to be a time for us to work behind the scenes to bring you some exciting new shows and offerings come January. We're not going to go silent, though. We're not going to leave you hanging. Through December, we're going to continue to engage with you by sharing some of our favorite compilations of episodes. We're going to be sharing some commentary. We're going to be doing bringing back some of our holiday-themed episodes that you may have missed in the past, and then revisiting some of Astrology Hub's most cherished moments that often go unnoticed. And we are just endlessly grateful for your support and curiosity, which really fuels this community. And your enthusiasm is what drives us to delve deeper and bring fresh perspectives to our podcast. As we prep for this exciting new chapter, we invite you to enjoy the retrospectives we have in store for the coming month. And we're thrilled for what's on the horizon and can't wait to rejoin you in January. So we still have the month of November to go through, but we just wanted to give you a little bit of advance notice so that you're ready for that in December. Okay. We also want to thank today's sponsor for this episode, Astro Gold and Solar Fire. They are making it possible for us to continue to offer great free content for our community here on this podcast every week. Now, if you run charts with a free astrology software and it can do everything that you need it to do, stay with it. But if there are techniques you'd like to try, or information you can't get from your free astrology website or app, you might be standing on that threshold that all great astrologers come to. You may be ready for professional astrological software. Many of the astrologers you hear on Astrology Hub, such as Gemini Brett, Rick Levine, Taylor Schuler, Jamie McGee, they have integrated Astro Gold or Solar Fire or both into their practice. The software has earned its reputation as a reliable and insightful tool because it offers high precision calculation for advanced users and beginners alike, all with a very friendly user interface. And as a partner of Astrology Hub, they are offering our community 15% off your software purchase. But you have to click the link in the show notes or description and enter the discount code to claim your special pricing. You won't regret making this commitment to your practice today. And now on to the weekly weather. We have award-winning astrologer Taylor Schuler with us today to help us get a lay of the land ahead. Taylor, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Amanda. I love doing this with you. I love doing the weekly weather. Thanks for having me.
It's so great. I love having you on as well. I always say, I think probably at the end of every episode I do with you, I love how practical and grounded and useful. You always like bring it, you know, bring it, you make it real, which is great. So what would you say is our overarching theme for the week ahead?
The overarching theme, it's the end of eclipse season, right? So the last time I was here talking with you about the weekly weather, I was like, hey, y'all, we're in eclipse season. I know the eclipse hasn't happened yet, but we're in it. And now here I am, bookends at the end of eclipse season. So the last eclipse has just happened, and we are going to be moving into the new moon, where that's when we officially end eclipse season. So it feels like two things. It feels like the end of the road. It feels like a fizzle, kind of. And that fizzle is also kind of like a whoopee cushion deflating. This is how I would say. So, or like a balloon, just like deflating, just like the party is over and like the balloons are kind of like hanging down and like bobbling. And things feel inside out and backwards, you know, because we've just come off Samhain and Halloween and the veil is still really thin.
For people that are like, what does that mean? Like, yes. What do you mean by the veil is really thin and why do you say that?
Oh, goodness. That's such a good question. So we have eclipses, which we just had two of them. We have solstices and we have equinoxes, right? So we have the start of season. So December and June, we have solstices. And in April and September, we have equinoxes. So we start winter, spring, summer, fall, depending on which hemisphere you're in. Now, we also have the days that come in the middle of those things, the days that come in the middle of our solstices and our equinoxes. And those are called cross-quarter days. And Halloween, Samhain, All Saints Day, Dia de los Muertos, that is the cross-quarter day that happens October 31st, November 1st, November 2nd. So the sun and the moon, they're kind of in this in-between place between seasons. So we're not just at fall, we're not at winter, we're not like, you know, September, October, we're not December, January yet. We're in between, right? We're in between the seasons right now. And for whatever reason, I mean, I feel it really palpably, but we have Halloween, we have a spooky time, we have All Saints Day, we have Dia de los Muertos for a reason. And it's because our ancestors felt this too. They felt that, as I put it, the veil is thin. And if you are someone who is intuitive, empathic, you have a lot of water in your chart, perhaps a lot of Scorpio, Cancer, Pisces, especially, you probably have, or a lot of 12th house placements, or you have a moon or a sun in the 12th house or something else in the 12th house, you probably have this intuition, this ability to move between worlds or like understand that there's just this feeling that you get a little bit extra sensitive this time of year, feeling like you can communicate with things that are not of this world.
Wow.
So that's what I mean with the veil is thin.
Okay.
And having that creepy, spooky feeling.
Yeah. And you also mentioned that it's kind of like the party's over, the balloons are like bobbling around and losing their air in them and getting kind of fizzled out. That's like the cleanup time, right? Like after a party, that's the time where you clean up from the party, you sweep everything away, you're kind of integrating the experiences that you might have had. Would you say that that's basically what this time is about right now? Is
absolutely.
A lot of, and the sort of cleanup even.
Absolutely. The cleanup after the party is like a really good way to put it. And it might not have been a fun party, but there was some kind of event that happened and we're on the end of it. Part of that is just where the moon is. We're in the last week. And so the moon every week goes from new to first quarter, full, last quarter, new again, right? So and that's a 7-day thing because the moon is 28-day cycle. So in this week, we're in a last quarter moon moving towards the new moon. And the last quarter moon is all about thinking about where we've been and where we're going. And cognitive dissonance is a phrase that I would use for this lunar phase, the last quarter moon phase for this week, because things have been a certain way for a while. And if you have this natally, you're this person where you go through life and maybe you criticize things, you point out, you see the holes in things, you see where things aren't working. And not everyone appreciates that all the time. People who are wise will appreciate it. And we do have a lot of Capricorn Scorpio this week. So that is that kind of like, oh, I understand. I get it. You know, I can take that pointing out and criticizing because I see where you're coming from. You're trying to improve things. But you improve it because you understand what's not working in the way things currently are. And because the moon is moving towards a new moon, a new cycle, you also start thinking about, well, how could things be better? And how could they be if they were different, right?
Yeah. I mean, even though these aren't necessarily the, you know, before we started, you said, you know, this week is kind of like a fizzle. And I said, you know, sometimes we need those weeks though, right? Like the ones where it's not like the fireworks and the bays and the big events, like we need that time where it's kind of like the astrology is a little quiet and there is this opportunity to go more inside, to integrate things, to make recent experiences a part of ourselves, learn what we need to learn from them, and then get ready for whatever the next big fireworks show is going to be about. But take the time and actually make the space for ourselves to do it, which I know in our culture is something that a lot of us resist, like taking that time to rest and be more quiet and be more internal. But again, it sounds like that's the invitation.
Exactly. It is a time because eclipse season is a really big time of change where things are come to light for us, right? So in the Aries and Libra parts of our chart over the past month, we have been able to see the way that things were working and aren't working anymore, the things that we want to do instead, the way that we want our life to change. And then in the Taurus and Scorpio parts on this last full moon that we had just a week ago on October 28th. So October 14th, October 28th, those are the two eclipses. Power surges, power outages in certain parts of our life. Some people are going to have been on this real high where they were active, getting a lot of stuff done, making a lot of progress, like surprising things happening to them that they weren't expecting. And then other people are exhausted. They're tired. They have no energy. You need to take off work, whether you wanted to or not, whether you had planned to or not. But there's just a ton of energy, and that energy can be really overwhelming, especially if you're highly sensitive. A lot of folks with Scorpio placements, myself included, are highly sensitive folks because Scorpio is a highly sensitive sign. It's like the snake that, you know, is moving across the sand and it can feel every grain of sand versus someone who's just walking around. And, you know, you might know that there's pebbles on the ground, but you're not really thinking about it. That's the difference with Scorpio and some of the other signs is being really highly sensitive. So if you're really easily overwhelmed, you might feel burned out right now. You might need to rest, or maybe you just came off of that. But either way, there were revelations, there were changes, and we're coming off of that. And now it's the time to integrate that and say, you know, not everything is the same as it was. Maybe it should be, maybe it shouldn't be, but it is what it is. And what am I going to do about it next? And so I think we start off the week on Monday. If I could make the rules, if I was you know, in charge for a day of everyone, I would say this is a national holiday. and you need to take the day off.
Taylor, if our holidays were actually aligned with the astrology so that it made sense, you know, like think about how we do New Year's in the dead of winter, well, in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, like this time of celebration and party and everything for a new year, like in the dead of winter, like just doesn't make sense. But anyways, I digress. So you're saying today, Monday, is a time of rest. And if we could all take off work, that'd be the thing to do.
Yeah, I'd say stay home and clean up your house. It's going to be a really slow start to the week. You know, we start out 12:25 a.m. Pacific time. The moon is in Leo. It's squaring Mercury in Scorpio. This is like you have, or someone has these really big, fun feelings like that balloon, but then Mercury and Scorpio getting that square from the moon are these serious deep thoughts that are clashing. And then the moon goes void until 12:39 p.m. Pacific. When the moon is void, you know, our friend Anne says the moon's not working and neither should you. So that's why I would say, and, you know, in Eastern time and Europe, that's like the day. That is most of your day on Monday. So I would just be like, nah, I'm calling in. I'm not saying I'm going to do that myself, but if I could be in charge, that's what I would say you should do. And then 12:39 p.m. Pacific, the moon enters Virgo and we're ready to work, right? Like we want to do something, but then we get Mercury trining Neptune. And so it's like ending the day with some kind of music, some kind of poetry. Go see a water fountain in your town square. I was just talking with our other friend, Cameron Allen, and he was saying he loves to go for a walk through the forest. So maybe listen to when Cameron told y'all to do that. You know, I'm not saying go do that for the first time ever tonight. That's not a great idea. But if it's part of your practice, go into nature. Go to like a seance, get a reading while the veil is still thin. Go get an astrology reading, pull some tarot cards, do that. Talk to your people who are on the other side, ask them, write them a letter, but connect in with your other senses and just stay slow and stay quiet and ask yourself, you know, if the world could be slow, if my life could be slow, what would that look like?
That's an interesting question. Is there any day this week that's not like that? I mean, I'm sure you're going to walk us through the days, but are they all kind of like a repeat of that?
I wouldn't say they're all a repeat. They are different. That's kind of why I use the balloon metaphor, because I almost feel like this clown energy, it's still like this weird Halloween-y clown party, sad, weird energy, and it's not the same every day. You know, I think Tuesday it's going to feel like there's a new day coming, and then Wednesday might feel kind of deep and powerful. Thursday we're going to want connection and adventure. Friday is not going to feel fun until the nighttime, and then Saturday might feel kind of like this, but it's going to be different because we just been through this roller coaster, kind of like going through that that ride, like at the fun house, right? Like the Halloween-y fun house, roller coaster. That's kind of what this week is. And then Sunday, the moon starts out conjunct Jupiter, and then we get a new moon right after midnight. So it's a weird fun house week.
Yeah. Okay. Can you keep us through the transits then?
Yeah. So Tuesday, November 7th, this is when we feel like a new day is coming. We start out 3:47 a.m. Pallas Athena asteroid conjunct the south node. So we throw our old strategy that we had before the eclipses out the window. And if you did take off Monday, you use that time to reflect, to get your own house in order, figuratively, literally, metaphorically, whatever. Then by 8:43 a.m. Pacific, the moon is trine Jupiter, which is retrograde in Taurus. And you might start the day off a bit optimistic about the day. And we end the day 7:53 p.m. with the moon making a closing sextile to the sun. So the moon is getting darker and we really do get more introspective and have more of those like intense feelings and ask ourselves, how will we end this cycle? A new day is coming. How are we going to end the new cycle? And what do we want the new cycle to look like? Then on Wednesday, November 8th, 2:29 a.m. Pacific, the moon is in Virgo. It's going to sextile Mars in Scorpio. So our feelings and our actions are aligned. They're in harmony and they're intense. Virgo and Scorpio together are two really intense signs. Virgo is an earth sign. Scorpio is a water sign. When you put water and earth together, you get something really fertile. The ability to plant a seed and have that seed be in really fertile ground. So our feelings, our emotions, our bodies are aligned with our actions on Wednesday. Then at 1 minute later, 2:30 a.m., Venus enters Libra. Yay, right? We get Venus where she's happy. She gets to do her thing, kind of be beautiful and be balanced and in harmony and know all the things and be social and relational and get things done and be diplomatic. So Venus comes out of Virgo, where she's been since the last time we talked, when she entered Virgo, where she doesn't, she's kind of really focused on the details. She can be a little bit lighter here and do her thing, which is a breath of fresh air, right? Venus in an air sign. So that will feel nice. 7:40 a.m., moon is trine Uranus. This is something unexpected, but a pleasant surprise, perhaps. And so maybe your day doesn't go as planned. Maybe you can take that to surprise someone, right? You have a loved one. You want to surprise them with a flower bouquet at their workplace or just at home, or do something nice, or say, hey, team at work, you know, I know we were going to do this thing, but instead we're going to go out and I'll go for a walk and have a picnic in the park or something like that. And then by 3:20 p.m., the moon is opposite Neptune. We're tired. Like, whatever the unexpected surprise was, we're like, all right, I'm ready to be done with the day. 5:16 p.m., Mercury sextiles Pluto. This is real soulful sharing, deep, powerful thoughts and reflections, which are then supported by the next aspects the moon makes at 9:20 and 9:55, which is the moon trining Pluto, and then the moon sextiling Mercury. And that's the moon's last aspect until it goes void and enters Libra the next day, Thursday, 12:30 in the morning on Thursday. So Mercury sextile Pluto, we can dig up information. We can get really deep. We can find things, but it's information that's helpful to us that we may or may not have known. It may be that we decide to disclose information to another person using that Venus in Libra to bring more balance and harmony to our relationships. In service of healing, which is that moon in Virgo, sextile Mars and Scorpio. But there's something that wasn't known because we got Mars in Scorpio and Pluto in Capricorn. Something wasn't known. It's dug up and wants to be shared or will be shared at this point in service of better relationship. Then I said Thursday, we want connection. We want adventure because the moon is in Libra and it meets up with Venus at 3:22 in the morning. And that's when we enter the balsamic moon phase. So the moon is now 45 degrees away from the sun. It is closing in on the sun. It's moving closer. The moon's getting much darker. And the balsamic moon, again, it's very fertile. Like I said about when you have an earth sign and a water sign, it's fertile. The dark of the moon is like that too. It's the forest and the leaves being composted, turning into this fertile ground. It's when you want to take a nap. It's when you want to dream, you want to mood board, vision board, journal, reflect, take a bath, go to the spa, chill out, and not really do anything. The only caveat is, from I'll just say me personally, I have a last quarter moon phase. I always get like really active and energetic in a balsamic moon phase. But the rest of the world is tired. So you'll think about your own moon phase. Maybe if you're like me, you have a balsamic or last quarter moon, this feels like a time to be really active. But for most people, it's going to be like closing things down.
Taylor, when you say that, do you mean in your natal chart that you were born during a balsamic moon?
So in my natal chart, I have a last quarter almost balsamic moon phase. So when I have my monthly lunar return and when I have my lunar phase return every month, which is something you can look at in your chart if you want to, I find that I have more energy when I enter my phase return.
And is that, this is like one of those examples, is that something you can see in free astrology report kind of things? Or like, I don't know. I wouldn't actually know how to find the phase of moon for myself.
So yes, you can get a free astrology report and you can figure out what your natal lunar phase is. One of the websites that I love is astro-seek.com. And you can go on there and find out your natal lunar phase. You can find out your progressed lunar phase. And it'll tell you what the moon phase of today is and what tomorrow is and what yesterday is. And you can see, what is my phase return? Am I in it right now or not? Is the energy of today matching what my natal chart says or what my progress chart says or not? And really see how that feels. And also see what it feels like to be in the opposite phase as well, whether it's natal, progressed, or by transit in the sky, what's going on today, because it'll really give you a good sense of why you feel in balance or in sync or out of balance and out of sync.
I love that. Thank you. I've always wondered, you talk about it quite a bit. I'm like, how do you even find that out? So thank you. That's really helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have a reading with an astrologer, ask them, say, you know, what's my natal lunar phase or what's my progressed lunar phase? And, you know, they'll tell you, or they'll say, you know, I don't do that in my astrology, but you could talk to Taylor and she'll tell you.
Yes. Yes. And Taylor, you're doing a special promotion deal for our audience, right?
Yes, absolutely. So come chat with me. I'll give you some extra time and happy to go into whatever questions you have.
Okay. So yeah. So if you go to astrologyhub.com/connect or astrologyhub.com/TaylorConnect, she's adding on extra time to readings that you book with her. So I think she's adding 10 minutes if you do a 30 or 45 minute reading, and she's adding on 15 minutes if you do a 60 or 90 minute reading. So you'll have some a little extra time to ask about your moon phase. So,
yeah.
But I think that you actually, it's a core and central thing that you do in your readings. Yeah.
It is so, so important. I mean, just looking at your lunar phase, plenty of my readings are all or mostly about just someone's natal and progressed lunar phase and what they're going through, because your progressed lunar phase is a 4.5 year period.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty significant. And when you make that shift, you're going to feel it. And if you're trying to push forward when you're in a balsamic phase or last quarter phase, you're really going to feel the resistance, especially if that's not your natal phase.
I remember when you did a reading for one of my family members who was considering a career change and having ideas about something new, but it turned out she was in, I think, the balsamic phase. And so you said to her, just take in all the ideas. This isn't the time to jump ship, though, like just quit your job and go try to start something new. But it is a time to be researching and learning about what you want to do, so that when the new moon phase happens, you'll be ready to go on a whole new cycle. And there was so much, she came out of that reading with so much peace. It was just like, oh, okay. Like, I get why I'm having the stirrings to do something new, but I also feel like I'm off the hook to have to try and figure that out right now, because that feels overwhelming. You know, I'm having a hard time doing that. So I love that you bring that into the astrology. I think it's really powerful.
Exactly. Because in the world that we live in today, it's all about push, push, go, go, never stop. You should do it. And that is not reality. That is a construct that we made as humans, right? Jupiter is the planet that is about our man-made concepts. And Saturn is the planet that is about our natural constructs, right? Saturn is the planet of farmers, right? It is the planet of agriculture, of hard work and of sacrifice, and then reaping a reward at the end of the day. Whereas Jupiter is like all abundance all the time, and let's just go to the city and have a good time, and there'll be buildings and taxis. And that's what we constructed, right? Jupiter is the law. Law is a man-made thing. Saturn is natural law. It is crops grow, crops die. People are born, people die. And farmers know that really well, right? Like I started a farm and I didn't really finish, but it's hard work. And you understand your animals live and die. You know, if you the people in your community live and die based on your crops. And life is like that too. So we have to understand what is the man-made things that we do and what are the natural ways of living, the Saturn ways of living. And Saturn is tied to this progressed moon cycle, because Saturn is a 27 to 30 year cycle. So is the progressed moon cycle. So that's another reason that I say, you know, Jupiter's a 12 year cycle. It's like all fun and games and it's faster. Saturn is long-term. What are we doing and what is real? What are we sacrificing? When do we let the ground lay fallow? When do we cultivate? When do we harvest? And that is the progressed moon cycle as well. When are we planting? When are we stratifying our seeds? When are we, pruning? When are we doing all of these things that nature demands and nature responds well to? When we treat ourselves like the nature that we are, we do much better. When we let ourselves lay fallow, when we have periods of cultivation and harvest and work and all of that, we do better. But when we try to do the Jupiter thing of go, 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 this is quarterly, this is, you know, like every day we're all going to be masculine on a sun cycle when some of us are lunar beings, we burn out and we think there's something wrong with us and internalize it instead of understanding that we just haven't been in sync with nature and our natural way of being and our natural selves for many, way too long, centuries.
Wow, you just pulled some things together that I hadn't drawn this. I hadn't noticed that Saturn governing natural law and then the Saturn cycle in years being equivalent to the moon cycle as we go throughout the year in terms of 27 to 30, 27 to 30 for months. Like that's profound. Thank you for that. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So are we into Friday now?
Yes. So Friday, this is when I said it's not maybe so fun until nighttime, unfortunately. We start out the day 8:07 a.m. with Mercury making a square to Saturn. So Mercury, so Saturn is at 0 degrees of Pisces, and Mercury has just entered its new sign in Sagittarius. And when you have a Mercury-Saturn aspect, Mercury is not what we say that's the moon. Mercury is our channels and vehicles for communication and for travel and transport. And so when you have a difficult or challenging or hard aspect between Mercury and Saturn, it's like going to the gym. It's when you have to develop the muscle. And the muscle that we're asking to be developed with this aspect is our mind in Sagittarius wants to wander, wants adventure, wants to be philosophical, wants to be inspirational. And Saturn in Pisces wants to crystallize our spirituality. But they're working at cross purposes for some reason. It's like, you know, we want to go off and be inspirational, but Saturn's like, I need you to be serious here for a minute. More of that like balloon deflating, or I need you to go do a little bit more research, or I need you to come with some more compassion, right? Saturn just stationed direct from being retrograde on the 2nd. So it's still for the next couple days in this. Or it's kind of just coming out of that period where it's still very stationary. I would give it about 7 days on before and after the 2nd. And it's really starting to move forward again, but it's at 0 Pisces, Mercury at 0. There's something immature here that hasn't been fully developed yet. It hasn't been fully thought out. And it's like, you know, it's almost a Capricorn feeling of I need you to mature before you're really ready because we're going to need to make this a thing. We're going to need to make a structure. We're going to need to crystallize it. Then the moon is going to meet up with Chiron at 9:25 a.m. That is also a bit of a tender aspect. It's like, get serious and let's think about how to heal and how to teach and how to do things better. But then finally, we end the day with Jupiter making a trine to Juno, or rather Juno's trining Jupiter, which is in Taurus. And that's really like being able to find partnership for help and healing. Juno, and I think I mentioned Juno in the last forecast as well, it can be about righteous indignation. So feeling like we were scorned in a partnership, like there is a betrayal or something like that. So if that came up previously through the week, that's part of the fizzle, that's part of the eclipse story for you. Jupiter and Juno having this supportive aspect on Friday might feel like, you know, if your date was canceled, it's okay because you run into Mr. Mrs. Fun or Right by accident. And that feels helpful and that feels healing and redeeming. Then Saturday at 1:48 a.m., the moon meets up with the North Node and it feels like we are really being pulled into the future. We're thinking about how we want to feel and what we want to embody moving forward. The moon squares Pluto first thing in the morning, 8:05 a.m., and it's void until 11:39 a.m. when it enters Scorpio, makes a trine to Saturn at 12:43 p.m. And then this is maybe the biggest aspect of the week. Mars opposes Uranus at 2:11 p.m. So it's a Friday that maybe feels serious and not so fun. And then we start to feel like, okay, we've got to make changes, move into the future. I've got to do things differently. We don't make a lot of progress Saturday morning. Things feel serious again with that Saturn aspect. And then Mars opposite Uranus is something that happens once every 2 years. Last year, last spring, we had Mars with Uranus in Yes, no, it was last May in 2022. Mars was with Uranus in Taurus before it had the very long retrograde in Gemini. It felt very long. Mars in Uranus is like the loud noise in an auditorium that's silent. It's this sudden, unexpected, it can be explosive. It can be an explosive, loud, unexpected noise or energy. It can be times when there are, Earth is moved, I'll say that. Earth can be moved in unexpected ways, whether that is in the Saturnian way of it was natural or in the Jupiterian way of humans moved the Earth and we weren't expecting it to happen. So we were in this fizzle and then there's this shakeup. And I think this really brings us to, what am I doing? Where am I going? How am I helping? What kind of peace do I want to invite in my life in the future? Which really brings us full circle to what I had mentioned in the forecast from prior to the eclipse, which is, you know, how do I, if my life, when things are taken away, we then see the value of what we have. So maybe this is some kind of shakeup that reminds us of what we were thinking about that week before the eclipses, whatever happened during the eclipses. And then we're reminded, you know, we can't just let it fizzle, let it go. We actually have to take action and make some changes. And then Sunday is really quiet because it is the dark of the moon. 5:09 a.m., the moon is with Jupiter. It is big feelings. We either have those big feelings or we start to feel like those big feelings are held and nurtured and comforted. And then depending on your time zone, it's either going to be close to midnight on either side of Sunday into Monday. We get that new moon, which officially ends eclipse season.
I love that we got to bookend this eclipse season with you and really bring it back full circle. This is where, to me, like the cosmic curriculum comes to life in our lives. When we get the thread that goes through these periods of time, and I distinctly remember, and I even put it in the Cosmic Insider because it was so profound to me when you had us ask ourselves those reflection questions. Like, if things were taken away, did I actually appreciate them while I had them? Did I actually tell the people, or did I actively show my appreciation for what I have? And if the answer to that is no, how do I want to live my life differently now so that I can say yes to that question? You know, and that has absolutely stayed with me, because so often we take things for granted. You know, we take the people in our lives for granted, the opportunities for granted, the thing that we wished and prayed for forever, we have it, and then we're complaining about it. It's like, it's always helpful to have those reminders of, like, you know, everything is changing all the time. And that thing that you have come to rely on, it might not always be there. Can you appreciate it while you have it?
Yeah.
Because even then, if it is taken away, which at some point we have to let go of everything,
exactly.
Right? Then at least you can say it. I appreciated it while I had it. I loved it. I loved that person. I loved that opportunity. I gave my all. I gave my everything. I didn't leave anything. You know, I didn't hold anything back.
Exactly. You know, my heart just felt really tender, just like feeling into this energy of this week and having this conversation with you, hearing what you have to say and remembering the bookends of the eclipse. This is the week when you need to tell people you love them. You need to just say it. You need to write it. You need to say it. I don't care if you do it in a letter and you burn it, but you need to put it out into the universe. I love you. Thank you. Right? Those words can be really scary, but to me, what's scarier is never saying it and never taking the risk and taking the chance. And so before we got started, I said, you know, I was like, oh no, I don't have songs. Then I was like, okay, I think I have some songs. And the first song has just been one that's stuck in my head because I like this band. It's Rich Girl by Lake Street Drive. And it's a cover of the Hall & Oates song, Rich Girl. And the lyrics that stuck in my head specifically are very Scorpio Taurus, coming off that eclipse and moving into the new moon in Scorpio, because it's, you're a rich girl, you've gone too far, and you know it don't matter anyway. So rich is like the money of the Taurus and the Scorpio. It's like, what am I going after? Like, is it material things? Is it the Jupiter or is it the Saturn? Is it the moon? Like, what do I really care about? Am I doing the Pluto deep reflection of Scorpio? And have you pushed the limit? And have you pushed the limit for something that matters? Or have you pushed someone that is tired of your stuff? You know, they're tired of your crap, right? Like, and are you tired of your own stuff? Are you tired of it? And are you ready to let it go? And is it materialistic and about money, or is it like, hey, I want to be in a relationship for love and for different things, and I want to pursue what I love and tell people I love that I love them and be with them? Or the other song is, and I'm not sure if this is the title, but the Boys to Men song, The End of the Road. And it's one of those things, and I think maybe Mariah Carey's in that song, and it's like, it's sort of that thing that you play at funerals, like, and where it's like, you know, this person just passed away, and it's like, we remember, and it's like the end, it is the end of a road. It's like, this is the last eclipse we're having that is in Taurus and Scorpio. Now the new moon in Scorpio is like, that nodal cycle is totally done. So have you done the work about your money, about your emotions, about your mental health, about what you value, about sharing the deep information that might feel hidden and dark and might feel scary, which could just be, I love you. And are you telling people that? You know, and not to like get too serious, like sometimes I think when we have Pluto stationing is really when we get like earthquakes and stuff like that. But Mars Uranus can be a natural disaster. It can be an earthquake. It can be something where buildings are collapsing and people are hurt, and it's unexpected. And so I hope we don't have anything like that. But if we do, it's one of those moments where you wake up and you can't help but your heart just breaks, and you have to think about what you appreciate and really use that as an opportunity to align or realign your life to what's important, take the risk, and just stop messing around.
Taylor, wow. And these are the things, again, it's like, we don't always like to think about these things, but it's real. You were talking about Saturn and natural law. It's real that at some point we will have to say goodbye to all of it. So yes. I actually appreciate these reminders, especially when they're not associated with a tragedy, because then we don't need the tragedy to be the thing that reminded us, because then it's too late.
Yeah, like, do hard things. We can do hard things without having like really big messages coming to remind us all the time. And it's like, wow, look at the stars. They tell us to, like, hey, why don't you incarnated? Like I said last time, 1 in 400 trillion. You were brave enough to incarnate. Be brave enough to be yourself. Be your authentic self. Shine. Share your gifts in the world. Make an impact. Do hard things. Ask the universe for help. Ask people for help. Ask for support. And guess what? You just may receive.
Mm. Beautiful. I mean, and even say I love you when it's uncomfortable, or yeah, say I love you when you're scared the person's not going to say it back, or whatever it is. Yeah. You know, these things we get hung up on, and in the end, they don't matter at all. So
really don't.
They don't. So thank you for these reminders. And I know we all have to work through the stuff, and, you know, but it's nice to have these periods of time where it's like, it's on highlight. It's on the spotlight to just get over ourselves, do the thing, say the thing, live the life, that we know we're here to live and appreciate the people and the things that we do have right now today. So thank you for this, Taylor. It's been super, super helpful. Thanks to all of you for being here, for making astrology a part of your life, for asking the questions, for aligning yourself as much as possible with the natural rhythms and cycles, and considering that when you make your decisions and when you decide what you want to focus your time and energy on. And thank you for making Astrology Hub a part of your of that journey for you. I really appreciate that. I do not take your time for granted. If I don't say it enough, I appreciate you and your presence. If you weren't here, we wouldn't be here doing what we love. So thank you for being here. Taylor, I appreciate you as well. I appreciate your wisdom and your guidance. It's so much fun to do these weekly weathers with you. And thanks for being a part of Astrology Hub. You know, you're on our reading platform. We get to do fun things with you. You're on the podcast. And I think a lot more exciting things with you in the future. So thank you for that as well.
And thank you, Amanda, for like creating this amazing space for all of us to learn astrology and practice astrology. I mean, it's just phenomenal. So thank you for having me again today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this weekly weather. Thank you, as I said, for being a part of our community. Thank you, as always, for making astrology a part of your life. And we look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Take care, everyone.
The entirety of our known universe, from the subatomic microcosmic level to the galactic macrocosmic level, is all built upon the blueprint of sacred geometry. Everything in the cosmos is made up of the sacred geometrical laws that bring reality into existence. You know, traditionally, we astrologers look at these patterns through a 12-fold system based on 12 signs of the zodiac. However, dividing a cycle by 12 is not the only way that nature works. It's just a very convenient way for us to mathematically divide a circle by 2, 3, 4, or 6, which, of course, creates the traditional aspects all astrologers know well. Unfortunately, this patriarchal bias prompts us to miss a lot of the action when we divide a circle by the magical 5, or the otherworldly division by the number 7, or even the motivational number 8, in order to widen our astrological thinking so we can make invisible worlds visible. We're going to look at quintiles, the division by 5, septiles, the division by 7, octiles, called semi-squares and sesquisquares, that's the division by 8, and even more. Hey all, this is Rick Levine, and I'm excited to be announcing my latest course, Unlocking the Magic of Harmonic Aspects. This, as some of you know, is one of my favorite astrological topics, and I'm quite pleased to be teaching this on the Astrology Hub. Although the course actually includes a one-hour introductory video that's a crash course in harmonic aspects for anyone unfamiliar with them, it's also a refresher for those who have already studied some of these aspects. But the course is not a course on theory. It's a hands-on practical application of harmonic aspects for natal chart interpretation. I'm going to be reading 4 charts per class in 4 2-hour live Zoom webinars, meaning that 16 lucky students will be chosen in advance and will be brought on screen to have me analyze, to unfold their harmonic aspects, revealing things about charts that maybe these people have never had put into words in an astrological session. So I invite you to come along on a mind-expanding ride and take a next step into your astrological studies. More information, details on the curriculum, and registration is available at astrologyhub.com/harmonics. I'm Rick Levine. See you online.
This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.